Hello and welcome to Scripture Verse by Verse. This is Michael Moret, and this is our final study in the book of Exodus. We come today to Exodus chapter 34, verse 1. This is our 24th study in the book of Exodus. And Father, we ask that you would add your blessing to the word that we are about to study. In Jesus' name, amen. Exodus 34, 1. And the Lord said to Moses, "Cut two tablets of stone, like the first ones, and I will write on these tablets the words that were on the first tablets, which you broke." Now, I don't know if Moses was embarrassed when God mentioned the two stone tablets that he broke. I don't even know if he should be. Holy anger is a good thing when it's released in the correct way. 2. So be ready in the morning, and come up in the morning to Mount Sinai, and present yourself to me there on the top of the mountain. Moses must climb the mountain and stand before that cloud of glory and then wait to see what God has to say. Moses is also to be in a state of readiness so that he can hear God and obey. Verse 3. And no man shall come up with you, and let no man be seen throughout all the mountain. Let neither flocks nor herds feed before that mountain. The people had to stay away to teach them once again that God is holy and God is pure, and they are impure. Verse 4. So he cut two tablets of stone like the first ones. Then Moses rose early in the morning and went up Mount Sinai, as the Lord had commanded him. And he took in his hand the two tablets of stone. Moses did not waste time. He got up early and he obeyed God. 5. Now the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And so God once again manifests himself in this cloud of glory. You know, God reveals much about himself to Israel and to us through nature and through Scripture. However, by appearing in a cloud, he is also reminding us that there is much about God that is veiled. Verse 6. And the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth. In other words, God is good. Verse 7. Keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and the children's children to the third and fourth generations. In other words, people cannot get away with sin. And the sad thing is, the consequences often affect children and grandchildren. The negative domino effect of sin can go on for generations. Verse 8. So Moses made haste and bowed his head toward the earth and worshipped. Moses drops and in a most humble way prays for his people. The Israelites really don't know how fortunate they are to have a man like Moses who cares about them so much. Verse 9. Then he said, "If now I have found grace in your sight, O Lord, let my Lord, I pray, go among us, even though we are a stiff-necked people, and pardon our iniquity and our sin, and take us as your inheritance." Stiff-necked and wicked. And you know what? That's coming from the lips of their friend. Clearly, the Israelites were not chosen to be God's special people because they were better than others. Just like us Christians, we aren't superior to anyone. We are saved because of God's abundant mercy. 10. And he said, "Behold, I make a covenant. Before all your people I will do marvels such as have not been done in all the earth, nor in any nation. And all the people among whom you are shall see the work of the Lord, for it is an awesome thing that I will do with you. Other nations will hear of the mighty things God has done in Israel, and they will think, no God has ever done such an amazing thing. No God has ever done such amazing things for any people. And the surrounding nations will think, that God of Israel, He is God. 11. Observe what I command you this day. Behold, I am driving out from before you the Amorite, and the Canaanite, and the Hittite, and the Perizzite, and the Hivite, and the Jebusite. And this is the third time God said He'd drive their enemies out of the land of promise. 12. Take heed to yourself, lest you make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land where you are going, lest it be a snare in your midst. And God did not want His people making any agreements with the heathen, because He knew that they'd cause His people to go in the wrong direction spiritually. 13. But you shall destroy their pillars, break their sacred pillars, and cut down their wooden images. For you shall worship no other god, for the Lord, whose name is Jealous, is a jealous God. See, not all jealousy is sin. I mean, if you're not jealous when your wife spends more time with another guy than with you, you don't love her. God is a jealous God. Verse 15. Lest you make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land, and they play the harlot with their gods, and make sacrifice to their gods, and one of them invites you, and you eat of his sacrifice. Notice the downward spiral God says will happen if they mingle with the wicked. Don't even go in that direction, God says. Now, verses 18 through 26, we already covered already. So let's skip all the way down to verse 27. Then the Lord said to Moses, write these words, for according to the tenor of these words I have made a covenant with you and with Israel. The words God spoke were written down. That is the definition of Holy Scripture. The Bible doesn't just contain God's word. It is God's word, written down. 28. So he was there with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights. He neither ate bread nor drank water. And he wrote on the tablets the words of the covenant, the Ten Commandments. Verse 29. Now it was so, when Moses came down from Mount Sinai, and the two tablets of testimony were in Moses' hand when he came down from the mountain, that Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone while he talked with him, while he talked with God. Moses had spent so much time with God that both his soul and his body were penetrated with divine glory. 30. So when Aaron and all the children of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come near him. And sure they were afraid, because their consciences were probably still full of guilt over that golden calf sin. Verse 31. Then Moses called to them, and Aaron and all the rulers of the congregation returned to him, and Moses talked with them. Verse 32. Afterward, all the children of Israel came near, and he gave them as commandments all that the Lord had spoken with him on Mount Sinai. And when Moses had finished speaking with them, he put a veil on his face. When Moses realized that the glory of God was radiating from him and making the people uncomfortable, he covered his face. 34. But whenever Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he would take the veil off until he came out. And he would come out and speak to the children of Israel whatever he had been commanded. And whenever the children of Israel saw the face of Moses, that the skin of Moses' face shone, then Moses would put the veil on his face again until he went in to speak with him, that is, with God. And so Moses removed his veil when he went in by God. Moses did not veil himself in God's presence. You know, no point in that anyway, because you can't hide from God behind a veil. or anything else. Besides, Moses wants to see the Lord the best that he can. Verse 1 of chapter 35. Then Moses gathered all the congregation of the children of Israel together and said to them, "These are the words which the Lord has commanded you to do." Now the main subjects of this chapter have already been dealt with, so I won't do it again. But there are some things that I want us to look at, just a couple of things. Look at verse 2. "Work shall be done for 6 days, but the seventh day shall be a holy day for you, a Sabbath of rest to the Lord. Whoever does any work on it shall be put to death." These Sabbath laws were given to Israel to regulate their lives in the Holy Land. They are not for the church. They are not for the United States of America. They are for Israel in the Holy Land. Verse 3. Actually, let's skip down to verse 4. "And Moses spoke to all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, 'This is the thing which the Lord commanded, saying, Take from among you an offering to the Lord. Whoever is of willing heart, let him bring it as an offering to the Lord, gold, silver, and bronze.'" Now the offerings here are for the materials to be used in building God's house. And these offerings for the tabernacle came from people who had a willing heart. Let's go all the way down to, let's go down to verse 20. Because the verses in between just describe all the articles, the articles for building the tabernacle. Verse 20, "And all the congregation of the children of Israel departed from the presence of Moses. Then everyone came whose heart was stirred, and everyone whose spirit was willing, and they brought the Lord's offering for the work of the tabernacle of meeting, for all its service, and for the holy garments." And so people who had a heart for God gave. Those who didn't care didn't give. Verse 25, "All the women who were gifted artisans spun yarn with their hands and brought what they had spun of blue, purple, and scarlet, and fine linen. And all the women whose hearts stirred with wisdom spun yarn of goat's hair." And so these ladies were making curtains for God's house. Probably didn't have cash, so they gave God their time and their talents. Let's go to chapter 36, verse 1. "And Bezalel, and Oholiab, and every gifted artisan in whom the Lord had put wisdom and understanding to know how to do all manner of work for the service of the sanctuary, shall do according to all that the Lord has commanded." God raised up people with many different skills, and they put those skills to use for him. Verse 2, "Then Moses called Bezalel and Oholiab and every gifted artisan," notice this, "in whose heart the Lord had put wisdom, everyone whose heart was stirred to come and do the work." And so like the women who served and the people who gave, these men rolled up their sleeves and they got to work for the Lord. They worked because they wanted to do something for God. Now let's go to chapter 37. Actually, chapter 37, verse 1 through chapter 40, verse 33, talks about the construction of the tabernacle and the priest's garments. And so we're going to skip that and go right down to chapter 40, verse 34, and we will wrap this book up. Chapter 40, verse 34. "Then the cloud covered the tabernacle of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle." God gave Israel the blueprint for the tabernacle, and they built it accordingly. When it was done, God entered it, thus giving it his stamp of approval. They did it right, and God is pleased. 35. "And Moses was not able to enter the tabernacle of meeting because the cloud rested above it, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. God's presence was so dazzling bright that Moses couldn't even enter the place. 36. "Whenever the cloud was taken up from above the tabernacle, the children of Israel would go onward in all their journeys. But if the cloud was not taken up, then they did not journey till the day that it was taken up. The Israelites did not form a committee and in order to decide when they should break camp. They waited for God to direct them. When He moved, they moved. Today, the Holy Scriptures are the equivalent of our divine cloud. In Scripture, we have divine directions, and as Christians, we have the Holy Spirit telling us how they apply to us. And it's just as important to follow God's guidance in Scripture as it was for the Israelites to follow that cloud. 38. For the cloud of the Lord was above the tabernacle by day, and fire was over it by night, in the sight of all the house of Israel throughout all their journeys. Never again would the Israelites have to ask, "Is the Lord among us or not?" as they have done in the past. All they have to do is look toward that tabernacle and they would see Him. The next book is the book of Leviticus. It's all about the holiness of God and His requirements for fellowship with Him. Thank you for joining me in this verse-by-verse study through Exodus. And this is Michael Moret for Scripture Verse by Verse. See you next time.